Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And I'll get us started in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. I thank you for the intercessors that are with us. I thank you, Father God, for those that will listen later. I thank you, Father God, for this time that we have together. I thank you for the importance of the hour that we're living in. I thank you, Father, that we have the privilege that we have in this nation to let our voice be heard and to act accordingly. I thank you, Father. I thank you. I just can't thank you enough, Lord God, for the privilege that we have. As we come before you, Lord God, help our eyes and our ears to be open, and that we can apply what you're bringing forth tonight. In your precious name, amen. So 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 12. Now this is after, the background of this is after the temple was built and the dedication had occurred and of the temple in Jerusalem. So Solomon had, they had done the sacrifice. Solomon had prayed over the people. He had blessed the people. So, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. Verse 13, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Now, I wanted to start with that because we've experienced all of that in the last couple of years, haven't we? We've experienced pestilence. We've experienced locusts. We've experienced drought. We've experienced famine. And much more is planned for the days ahead. And so the Lord gives us the directive. And one thing about this ministry that is, I'm sure that you all have come to know and understand at this point, is that we are a ministry about prayer. And so I'm not here to necessarily address prayer right now. I'm here to address the turning from your wicked ways part. I'm here to address the things that we do that we must turn from if we're going to see the Lord heal our land. There are steps that we need to take. Now, you know, we pray against abortion. We don't have abortions. We pray against human trafficking. We fight and pray against human trafficking. We pray against the idolatry, and we work hard to implement that in our lives. And that's all incredibly, incredibly important. But there is something that we do as Christians, that we shouldn't be doing. Every 2 years, we have the privilege granted to us by our Constitution to vote. Every 2 years, we have the privilege granted to us by our Constitution to vote. And yet there are many times, because we don't like someone, we don't vote. We don't look at their policy. We don't look at their voting record. We don't look at their platform. We just don't like them. We don't look at what their party aligns with. We just don't like them. So we don't vote. And we have a responsibility as citizens of this country to vote. We can pray until our knees are bloody. We can weep until we have used all the Kleenex in America. We can pace and stay up nights until we have got bags under our eyes and we have worn our carpets down. But if we don't take action, what have we done? How are we showing and preparing? How are we showing an example to our posterity? How are we preparing our country for the next generation? We have to answer for the decisions that we make before God. I'm going to share with you tonight of a couple of visions that I had and a dream that I had that I think will help you understand how the Lord sees this and the significance of this, especially in this hour, and especially when we consider what's at stake. First, I want to, I'll show you a couple of experiences. In August, I released a word from the Lord regarding the coming revolution. 2023 is the year of revolution. And this is something that God wants to do for us. He wants to do with us. But he partners with his people to get these things done in the earth. And that revolution was in government, in finance, and in the church. In July of this year, the Lord had said to me that we'd entered a very sober season. The old is about to be brought down, and the new will arise, and it will pierce the soul. It will be founded and grounded in the Word. I saw contact lenses all over the ground. It was the strangest thing, and I asked the Lord what those were, and he said, these are scales falling from the eyes of those who've been deceived, because the awakening was upon us. On August 1st, I was praying over the election, and the Lord told me there was going to be a cleansing this fall, that the unconstitutional candidates will be exposed and or removed. And the House and the Senate would see a shift unlike anything we've seen before. Now, think about what's taken place in Pelosi's life alone since August 1st. Think about what's gone on with her husband. Exposure is here. So, our Constitution grants us some rights. And first, we're going to start with the preamble. You think, well, why are you being all political on us? Because we have a right. But more than that, we have a responsibility before God to ensure that the people that are in office, the people that are writing up propositions that are going to be on our ballots, are people that reflect godly moral value. We have a responsibility before God. Whether they are a city council member or whether they are the president, we have a responsibility before God to make sure they reflect godly values. Do you know that when the Declaration of Independence was written, and when the Constitution was written, do you know that our founding fathers pored over 2 decades worth of sermons? 2 decades of sermons as they sat to write these documents that were to be our founding documents. America has one of the longest standing constitutions in the world. The average lifespan of a constitution is 17 years. Why is ours so different? Because ours is based on the Word of God. Ours is based on the morals and the values of pastors that were preaching prior to our Declaration of Independence and the writing of our Constitution. God is through and through our Constitution. They poured over 1,500 sermons as they sat and prepared our founding documents. That is thought. That is them thinking about our posterity and the type of country they want to leave for their children, their grandchildren, and so on. The preamble to the U.S. Constitution. Now, there are some governors that are pushing to have this quoted by children in the classroom every morning. One in Louisiana, actually, there's a legislator there that has been trying to get this done in their schools in that state. The preamble says, "We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. For us and our posterity, in order to pave the way for a more perfect union, there is something that speaks to me in this preamble. They were not thinking about their today. They were thinking about our tomorrow. And we, as citizens of this country, must start thinking about our tomorrow. We have so often, and I've been a part of this myself, so I am not pointing any fingers, but I remember in the 80s and 90s, and I remember the times that we sat there waiting for the Lord's return. And we boxed ourselves in, we closed our church doors, and we got ourselves ready for the Lord's return. And we forgot about everything that was going on around us. We didn't think about the people that we should be supporting to run for office, the people that would make decisions and policy that would affect our children and our grandchildren, because we figured we were about to be taken up out of here. We didn't think about the educators who would be training up our children in whatever they decide, because we and our children were going to be up out of here soon. We didn't think about business. We didn't think about government. We didn't think about media. We didn't think about these things because we were focused on us. That is not God's way. Our call and our commission is to be prepared with our lights lit, our wicks trimmed, ready for his return, while we are ensuring our houses are actually lit and our lamps are full of oil. And I'm talking practically speaking here. We are called to ensure that this country maintains godly and moral integrity. And we are to do that until the moment the Lord returns. We have to. You know, he told us to pray for his heavenly will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And part of that commission is for his heavenly will to be done here on earth. So until his return, we need to be focused on bringing his heavenly will here on earth. All right. So we have some rights under the Constitution. We have some rights. In Section 1, it says, all legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States, which shall consist of a Senate and a House of Representatives. Okay, so we got some types of government. We got Congress. We've got our executive, our legislative branch, and our judicial branch. So in Section 2, the House of Representatives shall be composed of members chosen every second year by the people of several states, and the electors in each state shall have the qualifications requisite for electors of the most numerous branch of the state legislature. So the people in the state elect representatives. The Senate of the United States shall be composed of two senators from each state, chosen by the legislator thereof for 6 years. Each senator shall have one vote. So we also choose senators. We choose representatives. We choose senators every 4 years. We choose a president. This is a right that we have. They founded this based on Isaiah 33:22, the three branches of government. That is what they based this on, three branches of government. And we have the right and the privilege to elect them into office. Our responsibility as Christian citizens is to make sure that these people represent the moral fiber of the Word of God. If we're not voting, how can we expect the people that we're electing to represent the moral fiber of the Word of God? The 15th Amendment gives the right of citizens of the United States to vote. It shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude. So this allowed for African Americans, even if they were former slaves, to have the right to vote. I was telling Karen this the other day, and I said, isn't it interesting that black people got the right to vote before women did? I thought that was quite interesting. The 19th Amendment, that's okay, because that gave women the right to vote. So it doesn't matter what your race, it doesn't matter what your gender, you have a right to vote, and as a Christian, you should be voting, because we are responsible for making sure that people in government are passing pieces of legislation that represent our values. Now, if you remember, after the 2020 election, I had a dream. And in that dream, I saw a man who was, and I'm sorry, translators, I didn't put this in the notes. I saw a man that was sitting in a room, and it was a law office, and there were two very large stacks of paper, and he was signing off on them. And I said, how many are there? And he said, there's over 200 here. And I knew in the dream he was referring to 200 people sitting in public office that were not elected legally. They weren't in that position legally because there was so much fraud in the 2020 election. So whether they're city council members, whether they are governors, or whether they are presidents, representatives, congressional leaders, secretary of state, those people, over 200 people across the country, are holding a post that they really shouldn't be in. Now, if we were to get out and vote like we're supposed to, I believe God will override any type of electoral mishaps that might take place. Okay, so our responsibility as we the people, in the eyes of the Lord, he expects us to take our responsibility very seriously. Now more than ever, that responsibility means the difference between life and death. On November the 2nd, I was in prayer, so that's just 2 days ago. I was in prayer, so this is Wednesday morning, and I was in an extended time of prayer over the elections. And as I was praying, the Lord brought back this dream that I had at least 2 years ago, and it was regarding the elections. I saw an individual in a voting booth begin to fill out their ballot. I saw them weighing the Republic, the Democrat, the Independent, from presidency to city council members, representatives to senators, justices to school boards. I saw the person fill out a bubble next to a person who deemed themselves as a pro-choice or woman's rights advocate candidate. So, in other words, pro-abortion. The minute that person filled out that bubble, blood began to creep up from the bubble to their fingers and across their hands, completely coating their hands in blood. I asked the Lord what this meant, and he said, any person who votes for a Democrat in this day and age has not only the blood of the preborn upon their hands, but they have the blood of every child who survives an abortion but is left to die. Every child who is born and then killed that their body parts may be harvested, that blood is also upon their hands. And in the case where states are establishing legislation that will allow a child to be born and then murdered without investigation, blood will be upon their hands as well. And I believe this extends to those who refuse to vote because of personal opinions regarding a candidate. The Lord is taking this very seriously, and he will hold his children accountable, my friends. This is more critical than you can imagine right now. Our abstinence on this issue is a vote for the opposing candidate. We must vote, and we must vote according to biblical principles. Now, on November 1st, I was in prayer, and I saw the Lord working over the land. He was brooding over the land. His spirit was moving over the nation, preparing it for the revolution. And he told me to go back and review several experiences that he'd given me. And if I have time, I might share a couple of those. But I'm working to try to get some of them on our website. But it is a true preparation. This is one thing I do want to share with you. It is a true preparation that God is bringing about in our nation to turn this nation around in a powerful and a mighty way. But it takes our partnership with him, our action, in order to get these things accomplished. On October 12th, I saw the nation with layers of black soot, gray debris, and white ash piled up on top. The Lord came, and with one swipe, he wiped it all off into the sea. And I asked the Lord about it, and he said, I said, what is that? He said, it's the corruption. The intercession of the saints cut the roots of the corruption. And now all of this on top is debris that I'm about to blow up to sea. Because when the roots were cut through the prayers, all of that corruption surfaced and began to die. And we see this by what's going on right now with this exposure. John is giving us the good news every single week, sharing about this and the types of exposure that is taking place in our country. And it's powerful. It's powerful. And it's because of the prayers. But we've got to take a step further, and we've got to get out and vote next week. All right, so I want to give you some why this is so important. I'm going to read from my ballot, from the California ballot. This is a measure. Now, there are three states with a very similar wording on their ballots. It's California, Michigan, and Vermont. And this is what it says. Measure one, constitutional right to reproductive freedom. Legislative constitutional amendment. It amends California Constitution to expressly include an individual's fundamental right to reproductive freedom, which includes the fundamental right to choose to have an abortion and the fundamental right to choose or refuse contraceptives. The amendment does not narrow or limit the existing right to privacy and equal protection under the California Constitution. Now, what they don't have on the ballot is that this is actually abortion. What they don't have on the ballot is that this will also allow for the funding of abortions by women who want to come from other states we will fund their abortion up to hours. If they go into labor, an abortion can be done to kill that child. That's how full term this measure goes, up to the point they're in labor. And with legislation that they're trying to pass now, it will allow them to allow that baby to die even after birth. This is what I'm talking about when I say, if you vote, this was brought to the table and it was voted on by Democrats. So when you vote for somebody that is pro-choice, somebody who tells you that they want you to have reproductive freedom, they are twisting words to manipulate the masses so that we can advance abortion in this state. And it's happening in three states. And this will be constitutional. So it doesn't matter what's been passed, what laws or what new governor comes in. It will have to actually have to go to the ballot to have this removed from our state constitution. Three states are doing this year. This is why it's so important that we vote and we read what these are and we understand what these are. We're not voting simply for ourselves. We are voting for our posterity. Do you know the work that will have to be done to remove this from our Constitution if this passes? Now, because they are getting the word out there, support for this is declining. But it is really on the fence right now. And it's going to take prayer and it's going to take action on behalf of the Christians in this state. We're talking about our pre-born citizens and their lives. We must take action. Okay, so time is running down, so I want to... I want to skip ahead here. All right, so translators, if you can go over, please, to the article from Life News. This article came out from lifenews.com. If you guys aren't on their email list, I suggest you get on their email list. They really deliver some, this is all they do, is make sure people know what's going on across the country legislatively on behalf of our preborn citizens. Okay, so offsetting the abortion decrease by the number of women who traveled to other states. I'm sorry, I need to go up a little bit higher. So John read this earlier, that there's been a decline in our country. In Texas specifically, there's an estimated 2,770 abortions were done in April, which was already down from 5,000 to 6,000 abortions a month, which were done last year at the same time before the heartbeat bill took effect. With the Supreme Court overturning Roe and the state's abortion ban taking effect, the numbers of babies saved has gotten even higher. Now, just 10 abortions were done in the state of Texas in August. That means that there are children alive today who would otherwise not have been if not for the Supreme Court decision and this epic victory. And there are 13 states, I'm skipping down, there are 13 states that have banned or severely restricted abortion during these months, mostly in the South. And legal abortions in those states fell to close to zero. According to detailed estimates made by a consortium of academics and abortion providers, the report said 9 more states added major abortion restrictions, and legal abortions in those states fell by a third. In states with bans and restrictions, there are about 22,000 fewer abortions in July and August compared with the baseline of April before the election. That 22,000 decline in the number of babies killed was more than enough to offset the increase of 12,000 abortions in the blue states that advertise abortions to women in pro-life states that protect women and children. Texas saved the most babies. Way to go, Texas. Why am I telling you this right now? Because right now we're about to elect people who are going to make decisions, who are going to write policy, who are going to vote on things in the days ahead that will protect the life of our preborn citizens. We have a responsibility as Christians. Luke 19:13, the Lord told the people to occupy until he comes. Occupy means take an active, participating role in your country. Occupy until the Lord's return. Occupy. And the final thing I'm going to do, and I want to tell you that in this coming, in this current election cycle, Democrats spent 300% more on advertisements about reproductive equality, reproductive rights, aka abortions, 300% more on ads pushing that agenda over things that really matter, like the fuel shortage, like the economy, like what they're going to do to help people, hardworking families, make ends meet in this economy. Their push every day is for abortion because that is what pads their pockets. So the last thing I think I'll do right now, because for the sake of time, I'm going to read this. This article, it's entitled No Such Thing as a Christian Democrat. It was written by Everett Piper, and it was in the Washington Times. This past week, Matt Walsh posted the following comments on Twitter. The Democrats have settled on their closing argument. Vote for us so that we can castrate children, use your money to pay for abortions, and put pornography in the schools. If you don't vote for us, then you are a Nazi and democracy will die. Fascinating political strategy. In these words, Mr. Walsh highlighted a sad and sobering fact. The Democratic Party is now so extreme that no serious follower of Christ can align with it. There is no longer any such thing as a Christian Democrat. No matter what your political stripes, if you have an ounce of honesty left in your soul, you have to admit that today's Democratic Party is no longer a party that any thoughtful Christian, whether they be Catholic, Orthodox, Anglican, Evangelical, or mainline Protestant, can support. Consider these simple facts. Today's Democrats have elevated abortion on demand above all else, first trimester, second trimester, third trimester, or even 5 seconds before birth. It does not matter. The party has made it very clear a mother's right to kill her child and Planned Parenthood's right to sell that infant's heart, liver, kidney, and lungs for profit is the highest test of political loyalty. Forget child care. Child sacrifice is now the highest good of those who goosed up with President Biden. I need to scratch that, President Biden, with Biden and Harris in their march to fundamentally transform our country and our culture. Unless you think that infanticide is the only thing today's Democrats care about, this party of all things antithetical to biblical faith has made it explicitly clear that they are far from being proponents of just one issue. Today's followers of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and California Governor Gavin Newsom are much more multifaceted than that. No one can accuse them of playing a one-string banjo. Not only do they believe in the moral superiority of dismembering babies, but they also champion the righteousness of castrating your boys and mutilating your girls. What does that mean? They're supporting policy that would pay for and support gender transition, not only just the therapy, but surgery on children. They want to start the puberty blockers as young as 7 years of age, and there are 13 hospitals in our country today, children's hospitals, that will begin the process of mastectomies and hysterectomies and even castrations in 13-year-olds as young as 13 years old. And this they want to have taxpayers pay for. Not only are they pushing legislation to have the rights of parents removed who fight their children transitioning from one gender permanently to the next, but they want to make this something that the federal government helps to fund. On top of that, today's Democrats are much more interested in empowering witch doctors to take your child through this process than they are in protecting your children from such blatant butchery. And we can go on, and I want to add one thing because time is short. They also push for pornography in our schools. There's two books that are in our schools in junior highs, Gender Queer and The Bluest Eye. One of these is about a father violently violating his daughter, and the other is about men with boys. And those are in schools today. This is what the Democrat platform represents today. So I'm coming to you to tell you how the Lord sees this platform and what they're pushing. I'm telling you how the Lord sees our involvement in our constitutional right to vote. And when we do not vote, the same blood that crept up that person's hand when they stepped into the voting booth and filled in the bubble next to a Democrat finds its way to our couch and creeps up on our hands. Years ago, Mom had a vision where they went out to the San Francisco bridge and there were women throwing their toddlers off the bridge. And they could do so legally. That's the path this abortion agenda is taking. That's the path. This is before they even allowed the type and the extent of abortion that they do today. That's how long ago she had that. Friends, we are fighting for our posterity, and our right as citizens to vote must be exercised now more than ever. Now more than ever. Now, the Lord gave me an experience that I'm going to write it up and I'll send it out because it was really, it's already typed up. I just don't have time to read it. But I think it will really encourage you in your faith and in seeing what God wants to do in our country and what he's in the works of doing in our country. But today, the most important thing that we do is follow the word of God, occupy until he comes, and exercise our right to vote on Tuesday. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the intercessors. I thank you, Father, that they're not only prayer warriors, but Lord God, they are people who care about this nation and the generations that will follow us. Whether we're going to be here another 2 days or another 200 years, Lord God, we are preparing the nation for the next generation. So I ask, oh God, that you would give them wisdom, you would give them discernment, and you would help them, Lord God, to make the right decisions, that we would all, Lord God, not only pray as we go to the polling booth, but Father God, that you would give us wisdom and discernment. And Lord God, that our step of faith will be met by your hand of blessing upon our cities and our states. I'm reminded, Lord God, of the vision that you gave me of the angels at the polling booth. But Father God, if your children don't go to those polling booths, why would your angels be there? So let us, Lord God, be seed. And let this group, Lord God, be seed for the many, many, many times over Christians who will follow us to the polls on Tuesday, that we would vote righteously and in accordance with your will as we exercise our constitutional right in our nation. I thank you, Lord, in your precious name. Amen.